Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You guys, your emails are the best. We love reading all of your emails, your funny stories, and your kind, sweet comments. And we love to hear how you handle certain situations that we talk about. So last week, we asked you guys what we should call this segment. And majority of the people agreed on safe space, except for Christina G, who thinks it should be all about Croy.
Yes.
Go ahead, Croy. Read the email, baby.
She says, couple of name suggestions for you guys. Since Kim has one named for her, maybe the second one could be named for Croy, like House of Croy, the house Croy built, or my favorite, Is That So? Keep the episodes coming. You keep this mail lady company every week. Also, my boy, I'm a boy mom, and I'd like to tell you, it'll get easier, but mine are now 21 and 17, and sorry to say, it does not. At one point, I thought we needed our own triage room at the hospital. Sincerely, Christy G. That's hilarious and not at the same time. The names are amazing. I don't want a triage in our house or our hospital, or our own hospital. Like, no.
Cash is the one that's broken three or four windows. He's definitely our fearless one.
I will say though that, like, I mean, I feel like the little things that we have gone through, they're like minor. Yeah, they're pretty
aside
minor.
Aside from the dog bite.
Yeah. So if we're, you know, if you're going to get a little ding here or a scratch there, let's just, you know, we're doing great. Nothing's been incredibly serious, and it won't be. Our boys are pretty cautious. Like, when they get...
KJ's the level-headed one that just tells his brothers, like, we're not going to do this. I guess they were having a Nerf battle today, and upstairs, and Cash, she's got a little bit of a short fuse, and Kane hit him with the Nerf bullet, and Cash just one-armed him and shoved him into the wall. And KJ's like, that's it. We're done for now, because he knows when Cash snaps, it's over. Right. We all go running when Cash snaps, of course, yeah. Aside from Croy, including right. me. When Cash was like 3 years old in the kitchen, I don't know what I did. I can't remember for the life of me. And in his eyes, he scared the shit out of me. And I started running around the center island in our kitchen, and he was chasing me. And Brielle thought it was funny, but I genuinely was like, I saw another human in those eyes for a moment.
Yeah.
But it's kind of what, yeah, Cash.
But they are, like, I don't, that way. I never really see them. I mean, they do this parkour thing. One time they were watching YouTube and they found this, what they call parkour. And it's like basically running around and jumping off already created objects. So you'll see people like.
Dumb ass idea.
Like off of a, they'll jump off a building and then you'll see them kind of roll onto the ground into a bush off a handrail. And so like they jump around. So that has been like the most of them. That copying that, like I'll see him jumping off the rock wall in the backyard and
our couch, Croy, yeah. or the kitchen counters or the yeah. kitchen table. It's not a good idea.
Right. And so I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're parkouring. And I'm like, never heard of that. But 2 feet is about all we're going to do.
It's funny because Brielle, she fell off the chair in Macy's, I think, the Lancome counter. When she was 4, and she busted her chin open.
Yeah.
And I was an absolute wreck, right? So, and then she's such an ass that it took like 6 nurses to hold her down to stitch it up, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I just had to step out. My mom showed up, and she stepped in, and I had to stand out
because they didn't want to sedate her.
Screaming. No, why would they do something smart like that over there? Okay. So then Ariana was 2, and she jumped off of the couch. Onto or tried to like jump over this granite table, mm-hmm. coffee table type thing, or marble, I'm sorry. And she hit her forehead and like it went, the point of it, the edge of it went right into her forehead. So as Ariana's screaming, blood is spraying out of her head.
Yeah.
I threw her in the car. I'm like, Brielle, you got to hold this sock. All I had at the time in my, I was a sock. I said, put the sock in her head. We got to go. She, of course, was stitched up. I think with each child, it's gotten, for me, my nerves aren't as bad.
Right.
But that's where the PTSD comes into play. Like, with the dog bite and things like that. Like, I think it's a different kind of scream when they're hurt. You know, it's a different kind of feeling. It's a different kind of... I just go into panic mode. And I think with boys, they're just more prone to, like, they have no fear. Like, Brielle and Ariana really weren't jumping off of kitchen counters. You know what I mean? They're playing dress up and Barbie dolls and
I don't know if it's whatever. Maybe it is no fear slash a higher curiosity level. You know, like, I was always really curious. I don't really remember hurting myself as a young child.
You busted your two front teeth.
But that was my sister's fault. She put me on the handlebars, and I don't really remember that. The only reason I remember that is because I was told that.
Right.
But as I got older and had more freedoms and more the ability to do more things, like, I was working with power tools with my dad, building things. I was, you know, I had a motorcycle. I raced my bike one time and slipped on some rocks. That was pretty bad. I had road rash all up my leg with rocks in it. That stung pretty bad. But, I mean, I was fortunate, too. I don't know.
I busted my chin open.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much... I've had kidney stones. That was pretty traumatizing, but that wasn't from, like, an injury. But I don't remember anything else in my childhood, really. Ear infections a lot, but no injuries. Thank God. Knock on wood.
Well, thank you so much, Christy. But we are going to stick with... Safe space. Yep, we're going to call it safe space. Maybe I can convince Kim to safe space in the House of Croy or something like that.
That's just, just too long. There's no convincing. If that's what you want, baby, do it. So Mary Bell and lots of you have asked, I would love to know more about how you raise your kids and discipline with your mantra. Well, my mantra is ask, believe, receive. And I'm not the disciplinarian in this house. I got my ass whooped with a belt all of my life up until I was probably 16, honestly. And it was so traumatizing that I swore I could never, like, spank my kids. I tried to spank Brielle once and she made me laugh and that was it. Croy is definitely the disciplinarian. What's wrong over there?
Oh, nothing. I'm great.
Oh.
I was reviewing this email.
Oh. You were... frozen in time, not looking at the email, Croy.
I was, I promise.
You were...
And I'm listening to you at the same time. I was like, that was three different things going on in my brain.
It's a lot for you.
Yeah.
It's a lot for any man, I feel.
I was working on it.
So, I'm not the disciplinarian, so I'm all about communication because I also grew up in a household where my parents didn't communicate. It was like the silent treatment, or if you're crying, you're fine, or, you know, or knock it off, you know, that kind of thing. So, I was like, you know... As I've gotten older, and when I had Brielle, I was like, you know, I'm going to listen to my children. We're going to use our words. I'm going to never invalidate kind of how they're feeling. And that's always been kind of my goal. I didn't really have to discipline the girls as far as, like, spanking them. I think Croy came into my life at the most perfect time. Brielle was 14. Ariana was 9. And I think at that time, Brielle, you know, she's never been this stellar student. And so she kind of needed some discipline because she just wasn't into school as I think she was entering high school, right? Or she was in eighth grade maybe when you
she was
when you met her. So Corey came in literally at the perfect time, and he my thing is like disciplining too is also is hard to like stick to. Like Croy took Ariana's door off her room because she was grounded for sneaking out, and we took her cell phone and she kept getting these trap phones, as they call it.
Right.
And so we heard her on the phone and Croy's like, "Is she on the phone?" Sure as shit. So we took that phone. And then he said, you know what? We're taking your door off. My poor little heart could barely handle it. And I would have put the door back on in 20 minutes, but it stayed off for over a year. But with ask, believe, receive, you know, and disciplining, I always will say, like, I think our kids are really well behaved.
Oh, no, they're incredible. And
I think that has to do with them younger and you, though. Croy, well, I think fear is respect with a parent, honestly. And Croy... Not that they necessarily fear him, but they have a lot of respect. And they do have I mean, Croy's a big guy. There's a lot of fear there. He's very stern, and he sticks to what he says he's going to do. And I think that was established when they were younger.
Yeah. You know, I think what's really important is that a child understands when they can understand, right? When they're 18 months or 2 years old, there's nothing they can do as far as like comprehending what they're doing. So that's in the stage where it's just like repetitive no's, and that's not what we do, and this is what we should do, and leading by example and showing them how to handle situations and really, you know, interacting with them. But as they get older, kind of where they're at right now, especially KJ and Cash, I really want them to understand that their thoughts are creating their reality. And
right.
Their thoughts, if they think about doing something that they know they shouldn't do and they do it, they're now and new reality is in trouble or in timeout or losing privileges or all different kinds of things. So they're the one that is in control of their life and of their choices and what they should do. And I've always told them that that little feeling inside their stomach when they feel something like that, that they should listen to it and not do it. You know, like if something,
if you feel
saying,
like you shouldn't
jump,
be doing it, you shouldn't do it.
Right.
Or Natalie Tomlinson, my psychic, says, when in doubt, leave it out.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of one of our famous lines in the house. When in doubt, leave it out.
Yep.
KJ is
super nervous and like
most well-behaved, like, yeah, little grown man. He's like a little police officer here. Like, Cash, you shouldn't be jumping off the couch if dad sees you. Kane, you shouldn't be pulling Kaya's hair. Cash and Kaya, out of the four, are the worst.
Right. Well, and when we say that, so KJ is KJ will live by the rules of life.
Always.
Like he will always follow the rules.
I feel like you
rules.
Do too.
But I've gotten better, and I think I've grown more probably in my 20s and 30s than I ever grew as a child. Outside of thinking like not necessarily, because I've always followed the rules, and I'm not like a getting in trouble with the law and hurting. You know, I'm not hurting people, but like being able to take risks and knowing that some risks have rewards and making calculated risks and doing things and approaching it kind of, you know, like an entrepreneurial would do it versus just following the rules kind of. And KJ is always, he'll not take the risk because he just wants to make sure that he is following the rules. So we're having to push KJ a little bit more to, it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay. There's a big difference too that I like to, as I said, mistakes, that I really want the kids to understand. A mistake is when you do something wrong for the first time, right? And we talk about it and you learn from it. You take something from that and you don't do it again. And that's it. It's done and over with. It's when your child is continually doing, like, if every morning at 9 a.m. he's screaming and throwing the toast across the kitchen, those aren't mistakes. You know, that's misbehaving.
Kaya,
that's bad
Kaya
behavior.
Kaya likes to misbehave.
Right.
She does it, I think, to get a little bit more attention as well. But she definitely is one to kind of push the envelope, per se. Like, she knows she shouldn't be doing it, and she still does it. So we've spent more time disciplining her, I think, out of all four of the littles. I don't know if it's a girl-boy thing at this stage. I don't know if it's because she does have three older brothers. Kaya likes to lie. She likes to she's the sweetest. If I'm crying, or when Cash broke his arm, Kaya was behind him just petting like his back, like he was a dog. Like, she was just like, it's okay, Cash. It's going to be okay, Cat. Like, she's so absolutely loving, but she's ornery.
Yeah. Yeah, she really is. She'll kind of raise her voice when she's not being heard or when she wants to be heard, no matter what. Like, she'll just start losing her voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's I'm here and I'm telling you what I want, you know, like, and so she'll scream.
She is so smart and so wise beyond her years.
Yeah.
She had on my high heels yesterday and a long skirt and a cropped top. I don't even know where she found it. It probably belongs on her doll. And she had this fan that I have to, like, it's literally a fan that you kind of open up and it's for your makeup, to get like your makeup to dry. And she's fanning it. She's like, well, what have we here? And I'm like, this child is going to be the death of me. Red lipstick on. I mean, she is like very wise beyond her years, and she's an incredible, she needs to be an actress, her and KJ both, but she's definitely our honorary one. I mean,
yeah.
And I always tell him, like, you know, Kaya, my big thing with disciplining too is, yeah, KJ, well, KJ again, I mean, I can't even discuss KJ because if Corey looks at KJ wrong, it's done. Like, if Corey gives this look, which Corey has, of like disappointment.
Which I think is important too, because there are points in time where you may be in a setting where you should be able to give a look, and your child understands that, look, oh, I did something that I shouldn't be doing, reel it back in. You shouldn't have to take them out of the room. You shouldn't have to, you know, step aside and disrupt whatever it is. Like, maybe you're at a wedding, or maybe you're at church, or maybe you're somewhere, you know, in a setting where you shouldn't be disrupting that setting. Your child should understand, when I give you the look, it's enough, and we'll talk about it afterwards. But whatever you're doing, stop. You know, that look.
Yeah, that Corey definitely has that look down. I think it's establishing boundaries too, but the whole ask, believe, receive, we can go back to that. And, you know, did that feel right to you? Did you, like, Kaya right. put Dawn dish soap. Kane and Kaya, can you guys water my flowers? I have flowers on the front porch and all these vases. I have flowers outside by the pool. I just love flowers. And so I asked them if they could water the flowers for me on this specific Saturday. Sure. So they each have a watering can and they're watering the flowers. Well, they have to fill it up a few times. So Kane puts his in the kitchen sink and turns the water on and walks away. Kaya walks in with hers to fill hers up. And this little shit dumped Dawn dish soap into his can. So when he comes back, it's overflowing with bubbles. He's screaming, Kaya, you put soap in my can. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. So Croy said, Kaya, come here.
Right, right. And it went right back to the foundation of what we say is, you know, did it feel like when you, the moment, I had to explain to her because we have cameras, security cameras in our home. And so I pulled them up and I said, I asked her, did you put soap in? And she said, no. And I said, Kaya. And so then she knows right then and there.
She still kept lying.
Well, so then she knows right then and there. I said, Kaya, you know that I know that you did. I'm going to ask you one more time. Did you put soap in his thing? And so then she gets all upset. And I said, yeah. She said, yeah. And I said, okay, so right there you lied. So she has some extra discipline that she receives for lying because she does it a lot. So we're really trying to work that out of her. So she had lied right then and there. And I said, so at that moment, you knew it was wrong. You already knew it was wrong that you were lying right there. I said, and you got that feeling in your stomach. Listen to it and don't do it right there. Then secondly, so then I pulled up the camera. We watched it together. And yep. I said, Kaya, right here, when you're looking to the left and to the right and to the left and to the right to see if somebody's watching you, to see if you're going to get quote unquote caught doing this, that's when you know it's wrong. And we talk a lot about character and understanding that character is not is only measured by who you are when nobody's watching you and do you do the right thing. And I said that's important that even if you may not get caught in the moment, you're more than likely somebody's going to find out at some point. And that's just not how you should be doing things, because if it's not right in that moment, it's never going to be right. You know, like whether you get caught or don't get caught, it's always the wrong thing to do. And we understand that what our actions affect people. You know, we really explain that, and that our behavior can hurt people's feelings and can really impact somebody. Obviously, putting soap in Kane's thing when he was so excited to water flowers, it hurt him. It hurt his feelings. You know, like,
he's very sweet too. It's funny because they're complete opposites. She's sweet, like I said, as well, but right. She can definitely be a little bit more honoring. He puts up with a lot because he does love her so much. Even like the day they were born, he wanted to be right next to her, and Kaya was, she could give two shits.
Yeah. So she spent quite a few minutes and hours in timeout.
And she doesn't care. No. She doesn't care if you keep her in timeout for an hour. She does not care.
Yeah.
She rolls her eyes. Oh, she's drama
she's
queen.
Very strong, strong-willed.
Very strong-willed. Which we're going to appreciate. You know, my assistant, Nikki, who is not my hairdresser, by the way, because my hairdresser yesterday, she's like, everybody keeps thinking I'm your hairdresser. You know, we will appreciate in the future her very strong-willed personality. Yeah. Natalie Tomlinson, again, psychic Natalie, who we're going to have on here, and maybe gift a reading to one of you, which will be really fun. But she said, you know, Kaya's never going to take no for an answer. And there is not, without a shadow of a doubt, that's exactly what's going to happen.
That can be extremely beneficial and slightly detrimental. You know, like there are times where mm-hmm. you have to listen to people, right? And you have to hear their side. But then there are times when, like in the world of business or in the world of whatever, and you refuse to take no for an answer, that's something I feel like it would be the mentality of like Tom Brady. He refuses to take no for an answer. There is the word no doesn't exist in his book, and he will work tirelessly to
but obviously
prove you wrong.
He's
to
a
prove
team player.
That no wrong.
Very obvious he's right. a team player. Okay, you guys, wait. This is what safe space is for. Would you trick your spouse partner into getting pregnant? Ooh, we have an email from Lambert.
No.
This says
no.
Here's my thing. She loves reading our podcast. Thank you for your email. I'm not giving you her real name. Here is the thing. I love my hubs and can't imagine life without him, and we are having major disagreements about a third child. We have two boys who are the loves of my life, and he feels we're done. And I feel like I'm totally unable to envision my life without a third. I would actually want 4 or 5 kids, but he only wants 2. It is taking a toll on my mental health, and I'm struggling with feeling selfish and ungrateful, which I don't think I am. I'm just so thankful to have my 2 boys, but I need another. I need 1 more baby, but my husband isn't open to it. What should I do? Well, first of all, he's going to know you tricked him, because if you're on birth control and you stop and you end up pregnant, he's going to know you stopped it intentionally, especially
well,
since he knows.
No, or you accidentally missed one or an antibiotic.
Why are you giving her fucking ideas?
Interfered with it. But I look, I'm not giving her ideas because I don't think that is anything that you should be doing whatsoever. You should never.
Would you get a divorce over it to have more children?
That's the question.
That
depends on whether or not it's a deal breaker, right? So it.
Well, no, I'm asking her. Like Lambert, you know, would you want to have, you know, if he says no, are you just can't let it go? That's my thing. Can you just not let it go? I get it. Listen, I got into this place where I was like, okay, Corey, let's have 1 more baby. And Corey wasn't like totally opposed to it. I think if I pushed it, it probably could have been a possibility. I think if we had sperm on ice, like Dr. Hood recommended, it probably would have, there would have been a 7th boy.
Right.
Which Natalie said, when I was pregnant with the twins, she said, there will be a 7th if you want it and it will be a boy. So I always kind of figured it would be a boy. But I just was like, I don't know. We're in a great place. But if I pushed it and Corey said no, I don't know how that would kind of make me feel. It's not like he's carrying it. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think there's 2 routes we can go here. We can either have Miss, we'll call her Lambert, Miss Lambert here, call in.
We've been calling her Lambert. Where have you been?
Oh, okay. I was deep in thought. So we can either have her call in, we can get some more backstory, or we would love to maybe you experience some therapeuticness in writing a nice long journal or email into us. It might help you kind of get some of these things out. You know, write this big long email to us. Give us a little bit of backstory. Are you guys financially stable to have a child? Why does he not want, and why do you want this so bad?
Do you want
a
girl? Are you looking for a girl? Is that something that
no,
you really want?
She says she wants a third boy. Yeah.
Oh, no, it doesn't say a third boy. It doesn't say a third.
Oh, just a third. Yeah, no, she just wants a third. No.
She didn't say. So maybe she's looking for that girl. And I am with you on that. And I feel like you could use the girl aspect. Like, babe, please, I really can't imagine. I would really love to try for a girl. Please, 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 please. I think if you go at it from that angle. But I definitely think tricking him into getting pregnant. I don't know if you're on birth control. Like if she's like taking the pill.
Do not trick him. Please do not trick him.
Be quiet.
No,
be quiet.
No, what you're doing is you're affecting somebody else's life in a negative way at their moment. It's husband or not.
Love the baby once it's here.
No, husband or not, you cannot trick somebody because you're affecting their life. You're going to cause him extreme mental anxiety. The mental anxiety she's feeling right now, you'll put him in that space. Would you want to do that to your partner? No, you don't. You want to come collectively together to a
it's not happening, she says.
Yes, it is.
It's
you
not
have,
happening.
No
so now
what.
we're done with plan A and we're on to plan B because he is not.
No matter what, you have to communicate and you have to find common
she
ground.
Tried. And he's not listening.
No, she's not.
So now she's resorting into tricking him.
No, we cannot do this, Lambert. We cannot do this. So, but what we're going to do is we would love for you to email us this much more in-depth email. Maybe, you know, because here's what I'm going to say on his side. Maybe he wants to spend more time with you and he's realizing that.
Croy!
Can I finish my thought?
No.
Maybe he wants to spend more time with you and he's realizing that when he experienced the first 2 births, he didn't get to spend as much time with you, or he's not maybe as important anymore in the marriage. And I want my time with my wife, you know, and maybe there's a lot of backstory here that we need to capture to understand his side and her side to give her the
appropriate advice. It's pretty black and white to me. She wants a baby. He doesn't. So now what?
It's not. Well, of course, that's the simplest.
Now what's our next step? Our next step is, I think.
Well, you got to hash out the differences.
I would love to have a girl. How old are your current boys? Are they like 9 and 7 or something where they're kind of a little bit older? Or are they 5 and 4? You know, just give me the update on the kids' age as well. We definitely need more information for me to give you an honest answer.
Yeah.
So I think that tricking them, though, at this moment.
Don't do it yet.
Can I speak?
No.
No.
Don't do it.
Croy's a man. Okay.
Don't
first of all.
It.
And is your husband a stay-at-home dad? Because other than that, I mean, I think tricking him might be the plan in the future. If you send me this long email and you're like, you know what?
I'm not tricking anybody. That is terrible. No, we're not doing that.
I think, how would you trick him? That's the funny part. Because,
well,
like,
yeah, she would just stop and then she would end up pregnant. But like, if he thinks he's protected and enjoying relations with her and he's protected and he's actually not, you're lying to somebody. You're deceiving that person. You cannot have any of that going on in your relationship or you will end up divorced. That has that, then no, you cannot do that. No.
Croy, you know what, you guys? Croy is like...
No, you cannot. I'm praying this because I think that you want to stay married with this guy. So
she said she loves her husband.
Well, yeah, if you don't,
Croy
you just...
gets wound up too much with this safe space shit. Like, calm down. It's not that serious.
It's very serious.
You need to calm down. She's not pregnant She's not your sister.
I'm calling the husband
or
Jeff.
Your wife.
I am on Jeff's side. Jeff is my friend right now, and I'm protecting Jeff.
I think that Croy, I think there's a lot of Lambert. Email me the deets. Give me the scoop. How old are the kids? Are you a stay-at-home mom? Why does he not want kids? Can we tell him we're trying for a girl? Give me the deets, and then I'm going to give you a real, true answer. But for now, let's not trick him until next week when we have another conversation. I might have you call in, but I feel like I'd have to change your voice or something. We should get like a voice changer.
I think we have. Well, I could figure that out pretty easy.
We could get... Yeah, a voice changer. So for now, let's not trick him into getting pregnant for the next week. And then maybe next week we will.
No, we won't.
All right, you guys, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of SACE. You know what, you guys, I can't even speak. First of all, I had therapy for a lisp when I was a child, speech therapy. And I had an inflamed taste bud on my tongue yesterday and severe heartburn, hence probably the red wine. And so I took tweezers and I ripped the taste bud off my tongue. And I did it like in my mind, because I had this magnifying mirror times 100. There was like a million inflamed taste buds. So I just started ripping shit off my tongue. It was bleeding everywhere. And now my tongue is so inflamed that I have a lisp. So anyways, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Safe Space. You guys, you can email us at houseofkim@kimzolciak.com or call us at 323-213-8100.
Have a good week.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.